Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said the person who tells you how perfect he thinks you are will lie to others also. We're happy to have this opportunity of talking to you about the Word of God. We do appreciate your listening to Bible meditations and doing what you can in encouraging others to learn more about the Word of God. We return to our study and we're talking about the power of a lie, the power of telling that which is not true. What influence does it have and how far does it go in regard to the effect on ourselves and upon other people? In 1 Kings chapter 13, a prophet, a younger prophet, was told to go and prophesy against the altar at Bethel. He was not to eat or drink while he was there and to return by a different route. However, another prophet spoke to him, and this prophet said he was told of God that this was all right, and the record says, but he lied unto him. What a terrible thought to think that a man who has responsibility for teaching other people would lie to them. But friends, that's the kind of situation that the Bible describes very plainly in our world, even today. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 15, "Beware of those who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Would I be correctly understanding Jesus' statement if I said there are some who appear to be all right, but they are not what they ought to be as far as teaching is concerned? Well, it just seems to me very evident that that's the teaching of that passage. Jesus said there are going to be false teachers in the world, and the apostles warned many times about those who would teach false ideas. I remember a statement of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, when Peter said, "There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Look at the passage again, and look as Peter says, there are those who are speaking those things that are not true, and they are influencing other people to believe the things that they're saying, and thus leading them astray. The responsibility of any teacher is great. He ought to very seriously realize the obligation that he has to speak only the truth. For a man to launch out and speak things that are not authorized in the Bible is to violate his commission to the Lord and to violate his responsibility toward his fellow man. And so we've been talking about the danger of the lie in regard to religious matters. We've looked at a number of passages, but we'd like to look at some more today that deal with this particular idea. I'd like for you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 3. Paul says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now he names a couple of them, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Here are two doctrines and commandments of men, which he calls doctrines of devils. But he says there are people teaching those things, and he goes ahead to explain that they are not logically or scripturally based. It doesn't come from the Word of God. These are the ideas of men, and therefore are to be rejected. But notice, the Spirit warns us. Well, how does he do that? How does he speak expressly, telling us that men should be teaching these false doctrines? Well, he does it by the Word of God, doesn't he? I pick up my Bible and I read a passage like that, and I know to keep my eyes open in regard to that which is taught. If I accept something that is not according to the Word of God, then I'm being taken away, just like these people were, and like the warning was given in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul in 2 Timothy visits that same thought in chapter 4 when he begins with verse 1 by saying, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now let's stop just here. How serious is the charge that Paul is giving to the young man Timothy? Well, it's serious enough that he said, I'm calling God and Christ to witness. The two are witnesses of the charge that I'm giving to you, Timothy. All right, now let's look at verse 2. Preach the word. That has its opportunities, but it also has its limitations. Preach the word. Preach that which is in the Word of God. But it also limits the preaching to the Word of God. I'm not permitted to teach the doctrines and the commandments of men. In religious matters today, sometimes religious groups get together, they form a council, and that council discusses what they think ought to be done and what ought not to be done, and then they determine the action of people by their decision. And they set down the rules and the regulations for those human institutions. Constantly we're hearing about consideration given by those groups in regard to, well, what they're going to do about such serious matters as the acceptance of homosexuality as being just another lifestyle, the acceptance of women as preachers, and a host of other things along the same line. My friends, I don't care how many people say it's all right to do this, or how many people say, well, we have decided this is what we're going to practice. That isn't the determining standard. The Lord still has some say in the matter. And even if we should get together and decide we're not going to accept what the Lord said about the matter, when all is said and done, the truth dwells with the Word of God. Therefore, it is up to us to study the Bible and to allow the Bible to be the final say, the final standard of right and wrong in religious matters. How foolish it would be for me to think that I could make some rule and God would have to accept that. Or that a group of us could make some rules and somehow or other God would have to say, well, that's all right. If that's what you want, that's the way it'll be. No, friends, we are under submission to our Father in heaven. He's the lawgiver. James 4 and verse 12, there is one lawgiver. It's not me. And you're not the lawgiver. And even if we combined our forces, we are not the lawgiver. The law comes from God. And that's the truth as revealed in the Word of God. All of this just simply means that you and I must submit to the teachings of the Bible. Now notice Paul's instruction. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What about that expression, in season, out of season? Well, someone has aptly said that just means when they like it and when they don't like it. Sometimes people don't want to hear what God says. Sometimes they reject those things that are spoken in the Word of God. Well, you don't change your preaching because some people don't like it. Rather, you preach it at all times, and if a person is willing to obey God, he'll listen to what is said. You don't alter the preaching. And Paul tells Timothy, don't change the preaching because some people don't like what you're saying. You preach it in season, out of season, when they like it and when they don't like it, because that's your obligation before God. I hope that as we have studied this week, we're able to think about the importance of knowing the truth and being obedient to it. We appreciate the opportunity and hope you'll listen again tomorrow. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.